Congress will take aim at the credit rating agencies today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From APM, American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Executives from Moody's and Standard & Poor's today will go before the House Financial Services Subcommittee for what's expected to be a grilling about repeated crises. Ratings agencies were closely involved in the housing crisis and the European debt crisis, and now the U.S. debt ceiling crisis, which we're going to talk about in just a moment. Marketplace's New York Bureau Chief Heidi Moore is with us now live from New York with the latest on that story. Good morning, Heidi.
Good morning, Steve.
So let's talk about these crises. Sounds like there are a lot of them to choose from. Which is Congress supposed to ask the agencies about today?
I know where to start, right? Well, what we'll hear Congress asking about is what's wrong with the rating system. We've had the world financial crisis. We've had a number of sovereign debt crises. But it would be a mistake to focus completely on the ratings agencies for this. They do have some culpability in the mortgage crisis. But analysts will actually tell you that the ratings agencies are right on things like municipal bonds, the ones from cities, and the ones from corporations. So what we need to focus on here is the housing crisis and mostly how ratings agencies make their decisions. I talked to Guy Labat. He's a fixed income analyst with Janney Montgomery Scott. And here's what he said about that.
I think the ratings agencies need to provide more information on the assumptions they use to establish the quality or lack thereof of a given bond.
Right. So basically what Congress is looking for is some insight into how these decisions are made. We want to know that they're not completely arbitrary.
All right. So if this is about the housing crisis, will they be asked, Heidi, about the role in the U.S. debt ceiling debate? I mean, some say they've been playing politics with the threats of their downgrades, right?
Right. Well, if they're playing more politics than the 536 members of Congress, that's really impressive. But actually, yes, they are going to hear about the debt ceiling debate. But it would be a mistake to blame the ratings agencies for our troubles. A lot of people say we should have been downgraded a long time ago. We're a huge credit, and we're talking about being a deadbeat.
Marketplace's Heidi Moore in New York. Heidi, thanks.
Thank you.
Speaking of the debt ceiling drama, there was supposed to be a vote today in the U.S. House on Republican Speaker John Boehner's plan to cut the deficit and raise the debt limit. That's not going to happen now because some GOP House members say the cuts don't go far enough. Well, the federal government would take a big financial hit if there is a default, and local governments could be affected big time as well. Christian Fodenwenzel from Oregon Public Broadcasting has that part of the story.
The Coin Cottage is a storefront in Portland. Owner Paul Rigby mostly buys and sells rare old coins. But he says this summer, small-time speculators are paying the bills.
I have clients that come in that are buying gold, silver, precious metals because of their concern about the debt.
Gold is seen by some as the safest investment. A debt downgrade would make everyone's loans more expensive, so many are locking in their mortgages now, or so says real estate agent Jeff Bale.
They've been sitting maybe on the fence watching properties and are deciding now to write the offer with hopes of getting into contract and locking an interest rate.
And then there are cities and local governments. They have to get loans to build roads and schools. The city of Portland is scheduled to issue $43 million worth of bonds next week. But Treasurer Eric Johansson says he might hold back.
If there's some uncertainty out there and you know sales are getting pulled nationally, then we might just pull back and wait for this issue to get resolved.
Maryland and California have both put off bond sales recently because of debt worries. In Portland, I'm Christian Fodenwenzel for Marketplace.
Let's do the numbers. Worldwide markets are mostly lower at the moment. Europe's down about 0.5%. Wall Street yesterday, the Dow fell 91 points to end the day at 12,501.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Chevrolet, maker of the new Volt, which plugs in anywhere and goes everywhere. Available in select markets. Details at ChevyVolt.com. Marketplace Entrepreneurship Reporting is supported by Farmers Insurance, trained agents committed to small business success. On the web at Farmers.com.
The state of Arizona is hoping to save at least $500 million by freezing enrollment in some Medicaid programs. Reporter Paul Atkinson wraps up a two-part series on those cuts and the story now of one Arizona couple whose Medicaid coverage ends this week.
June Nelson sits behind several thick binders of medical bills. They document her breast cancer and back problems and the glaucoma, diabetes, and heart attacks of her husband, Bill.
I've had to do this to keep track of all the doctor bills because Bill has so many doctors.
He's had two heart attacks and needed 22 stents implanted to carry blood to his heart. The medical costs wiped out the couple's savings.
We were no longer able to afford our private insurance, and we had to ask the state for assistance.
The Nelsons are too young for Medicare. Bill's 60, June is 58. But 2 years ago, they qualified for a state-run Medicaid program. It's for people without insurance who have catastrophic or chronic medical conditions that bring their income below 40% of the poverty level.
This medical expense deduction program is something that was a godsend.
Nora Nunez is an attorney with Community Legal Services. She's helping the Nelsons after Arizona policymakers froze enrollment in the program to help balance the state budget. It cost Arizona $82 million a year. The Nelsons' coverage ends Sunday, and they can't re-enroll.
There is nothing they can do right now. I am still trying to find options for them.
One alternative is enrolling in a federal program for people with pre-existing conditions. But there's a catch. Enrollees must wait 6 months after their current insurance ends.
I was hoping that there would be an exception for people who clearly cannot afford to wait 6 months. But that is not the case.
Bill may not be able to wait that long. He's needed stent replacements every 6 months. His last was in early June. That means he may need a replacement before the federal insurance kicks in.
It's scary. It's very, very scary. We just don't know where we're going to go with this.
There's always the emergency room, but the Nelsons are still paying off emergency room bills from years earlier. In Phoenix, I'm Paul Atkinson for Marketplace.
And finally, new research published in the current issue of the Proceedings of the National Academy of Sciences says generosity could be the result of more than just social pressure of charity. Scientists at the University of California, Santa Barbara did computer tests on whether evolution would select against generosity when there's no chance of payback, like when people tip a waiter they'll never see again. What did they come up with? Being generous could be evolutionary. Humans just really want to be nice. I'm Steve Chiatakis in Los Angeles. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. And this is APM, American Public Media.
I say steam power, you say what? Locomotives? Industrial Revolution? Robert Fulton, maybe? Nuh-uh.
We throw away an amount of heat from making electricity that is sufficient to heat almost all of the buildings in the United States.
I'm Kai Rizdal. Sustainability through steam. Next time on Marketplace, it's from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.